sang this song this morning. Just remind you of some of the words that struck me as we were singing. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. But what I'm hearing in this song is it's not talking about within these walls. This is a song I'm singing to the Lord myself, and I'm saying, Holy Spirit, you are welcome. You are welcome here. Come flood this place. Fill this atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. I will tell you this, that if each of us prayed that prayer, there would be no shadow of a doubt that the Holy Spirit filled this place. The filling of the Holy Spirit. It's a strange thing. It's something sometimes we have a hard time wrapping our heads around it, maybe until you've experienced it. And then if you've truly experienced it, you just crave it. You crave it. The Bible commands us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But sometimes we struggle to know what that means. What does that mean? I've heard tales. I went to this church one time. But I don't understand it. I want us to look at our central passage. If you're a note taker, you need to recharge your pencil or ink pen, because I've got tons of scripture for you over these next couple weeks. Ephesians chapter 5 is going to be our central theme. Several verses, 15 through 18. Verse 18 is going to be the verse that we hang to over the next several weeks. But if you would stand in honor of the reading of God's Word this morning. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 15. Paul writes, let me rephrase this. Paul penned these words that the Holy Spirit told Paul to write, okay? Paul is not the author. He's the penmanship. His penmanship brought it to us, but the Holy Spirit's the author. So the Holy Spirit says to us, be careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Can I get an amen in that? Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Verse 18 says this, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Father in heaven, use this weak messenger, Lord, in the power of your Holy Spirit, and the promise that your word will not return void, but will accomplish what you desire and achieve the purpose for which you sent it. Lord, help me to have a mouth that says it, and help us all to have ears that hear it. In Jesus' mighty strong name, amen. You may be seated. God bless the reading of his word this morning. The Holy Spirit. Sometimes a lot of mystery surrounding the Holy Spirit. And first of all, it's not an it. First of all, it is a person. It's the third person of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. It's all the same thing. Whether you call Him the Holy Spirit or call Him the Holy Ghost, you call Him the Comforter, you call Him the Helper, you call Him the One who convicts me, you call Him the Enabler, whatever you call Him, He is real and He is here for you if you are a believer in Jesus Christ. This may mess you up a little bit. Every believer has the Holy Spirit. Okay, I'm going to address this a little bit more in detail in a few moments. I know this because 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13 tells me this. For we are all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slaves or free, we were all given one Spirit to drink. One Spirit. And notice this small little word in there. Is it on the screen? Go back one slide. The last word on the screen. That's a huge word. It's a huge word. A-L-L. And now I'm not talking about the laundry detergent. And we were all, every believer, everyone who has confessed the name of Jesus Christ as their Lord and as their Savior, they share the Holy Spirit. Every believer. You get all of the Holy Spirit at conversion. It's not like you get a little portion here and it says, now if you're good enough, or if you straighten up, I'm going to give you a little more of the Spirit later. It's not how it happens, okay? Now you get, you have access to all of the Holy Spirit at conversion. Luke chapter 11, verse 13 says, if you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? You want to get filled with the Holy Spirit? You ask Him. I will tell you this. The Holy Spirit has many jobs. Many, 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 many different jobs in our life. The very first job that the Holy Spirit has in our life is that of conviction. The very first job He has is that of conviction, to call us to mind these things that were. I've done an illustration before where I've taken a glass of ice and I poured water in it to fill it up to the top and said, is this full of water? And Chad would say, well, yes, because ice is a different state of water, so it's really water anyway. But if you held the ice and poured the water out, it's not the same. It's not 8 ounces of water that was in that 8 ounce glass full of ice and water. There's stuff in there that's taking up space that the water can't take up. So that's the first job of the Holy Spirit, is to come in there and show us those things to root out, get rid of, so that the Spirit can have more room to continue to fill up again. Now maybe you don't sense that truth or feel His presence today. Maybe you don't. You say, okay, I understand that I have the Holy Spirit, but I just don't feel it. I don't get it. I'm kind of having a bad day. I'm having a bad week. I'm having a bad season. I'm having a bad life. Which brings us to this. The question we need to ask is not, do I have all of the Holy Spirit? The question really we need to ask is, does the Spirit have all of me? You see, it's not an issue of baptism. Did I get it? It's one of surrendering or filling. Did He get me? Does He get all of me? And the sad truth is, folks, that the Spirit does not have every believer. Not entirely, not fully. That is a matter of Spirit filling. And that's what we're talking about today. So I have to ask, are you filled with the Holy Spirit? There's a word that in the Greek that describes this word to be filled, filling. And the Greek word is plerousta. The root of it is pleru or pleruo. And it means, I looked it up, I have this it's a Greek Bible and it helps me translate some things. In the back it has every Greek word and it gives in detail definitions of those words. And here's what my Greek lexicon told me about this word plerousta. To fill, to make full, to fill up, to pervade, or better yet, to pervade with an influence. To influence or to possess fully. to realize, to accomplish, to fulfill. Now those are some great definitions. And they're good definitions, but how many of you know that the Bible is the best commentary on the Bible itself? So why don't we go back to Scripture and see what Scripture has to say about this word? Where else has it been used, and what did it mean there, and how can we apply that same meaning to this verse? So let's look at Luke chapter 4, verse 28, and I'm going to read from the New American Standard Bible because this is the most accurate translation of this verse. And it says, "And all the people in the synagogue were filled with rage as they heard these things." They were plerusta. They were filled with rage. What happens when they were filled with rage? They saw red. You ever been so angry you saw red? You were filled with rage so much that you were controlled by that anger, that rage. Folks, I have been there. Got the scars to prove it. They were filled. That's that same word. We're talking about, Paul's saying, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And back here, he's saying these people were, the same word, plerusta, they were filled with rage. And they acted upon it, and it influenced them so heavily that that's all, they were consumed by it. In Acts chapter 13, verse 45, we find this same word again. When the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy. They began to contradict what Paul was saying and heaped abuse upon him. They were consumed by their jealousy that had plerusta them, filled them. So much that it drove them to action. Okay? The feeling was so strong that it drove them to action. They were overcome by a power greater than their own. Now, in this case, it was a negative influence. But they were still overcome because that power was greater than they were. They were totally influenced. And we are totally influenced by whatever fills us. So back to our verse. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Now, there's some things in this verse that we need to examine very closely. Okay? First of all, it's a command. It doesn't say specifically, you who are hearing me, do this. Do not get drunk, but be filled. It doesn't say that. It's the same way as if you tell your kids, take out the trash. You don't have to say, you don't have to look at it and say, Aaron, I'm speaking to you. I want you to take out the trash. You just look at it and say, take out the trash. It is a command. It's implied. It's understood that is to you, and it's not a suggestion. Take out the stinking trash. We could all do a little bit of that today, I think. Let's take out the stinking trash. It's a command. It's not a suggestion. But here's the good news. I have good news. Because God commands it, it is possible. God is not some sadistic kind of person who says, hey, y'all watch this. I'm going to tell them to do something, and there's no way they could ever possibly do it, but boy, it's going to be fun to watch them try. That's not the kind of God we have. If God commands it, He commands it because it is possible. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. How many of y'all are a cups half full kind of people? Or cups half empty? Yeah. We're not talking about half. The Holy Spirit told Paul to tell us, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Totally influenced by, so much that it drives us to action. Be filled. Be overcome. It's a command. The second thing we need to see in this is that it's passive. We don't do the filling. It says, be filled. It's something that happens to us. We can't fill ourselves. We're the passive partner in this. It is happening to us. Be filled. What is our part in it? Our part is this: to place ourselves in the proper position to receive it. We do have a responsibility in it. We don't feel it, but we place ourselves in the proper position. What is that proper position? The first role of the Holy Spirit is what? Conviction. Our first response should be that of confession. Lord, these things in my life aren't right. I don't want them. I don't need them. They're not doing me any good. They're harming me. I want to get rid of those things. I want to turn from them. That's called repentance. We turn from it, never to return. Makes more room for the Spirit to fill us. It's passive. It's a command. It's passive. It happens to us. And it's plural. Okay? This again, it's not here. It doesn't say you. All of the Ephesians, all of the believers who will ever read this passage, understand that this is for you. It's for us. It's for all of us. The implied is you, but it's not you. It is you. It is, in these texts, we'd say it's all y'all. All y'all get filled with the Holy Spirit. It's for every believer, not just for the spiritual elite. Okay, it's not just for the pastors. It's not just for those evangelists. It's not for the TV preacher guys. It's not just for the ones that are making awesome music on the radio. It's not just for the sweetest old ladies in the church. It's not just for the youngest, sweetest little child. It is for all y'all. It's a command. It's passive. It happens to us, and it is for every believer. If you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit says, be filled with the Spirit. And the fourth thing I want to point out, that it's in the present tense. Right now. And every moment after this moment. It's the Greek tense, it's called durative action. It means it happens, not just a one-time thing. It doesn't just happen, boom, and there it was. I got married on January 4th, 1992. I got married one time. That happened one time. I didn't get married again. I've been married to her ever since. Okay? It was a one-time thing. That's not what we're talking about here. This is it happens. And it happens. And it happens. It's like, breathe. Okay? I don't have to tell you that as soon as you're through taking that breath, to take another one, right? I don't have to tell you that because you know that. It's a durative action. It happens. Happens. It happens. It happens. It happens. And if you work really hard, it happens. It happens. It happens. It happens. It happens. Right? The most accurate way to translate this verse would be, instead, be being filled with the Holy Spirit. Be being filled. It's a continuous flow. Be being filled. As you pour out, like Paul says, I'm poured out like a drink offering. Good news, there's a steady stream that's filling him back up. That's what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not a one-time event where you get filled and if you run out, sorry. You have an endless supply of the Holy Spirit. One baptism. But many fillings. One baptism, but many fillings. Never in the New Testament do we see a believer baptized in the Holy Spirit more than once. Okay? I've gone back. I've looked at it. What we do find is like the believers at Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, verse 4. It says they were filled once in this passage. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak to other in tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Okay? They were filled. those same believers further on in Acts chapter 4, verse 31, it says this, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all, everybody say all, filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God boldly. They were filled, and then they were filled again. And chances are, some of these people were filled again and again. Let's look at the Apostle Paul. He was filled once in Acts chapter 9, verse 17 and 18, and baptized. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it, placing his hands on, he was then Saul. Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you in the road as you are coming here has sent me to you that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, how many of you would believe that before this, you know, this is Saul we're talking about. Remember, he was the one that was persecuting Christians. Was there when Stephen was stoned, was on a mission to go out and round up some more Christians. Jesus met him on the road to Damascus and said, no more. I got a plan for you. And like it or not, you're going to do what I tell you to do. How many of you would agree that before this time, Paul was probably not full of the Holy Spirit? Okay. There was a time in my life when I was not full of the Holy Spirit. Chances are, and Bible tells me and assures me of this, there was a time when you were not full of the Holy Spirit too. Okay? But he got full of the Holy Spirit. It says right here, he got filled with the Spirit. Immediately, something like seals or scales fell from his eyes and he could see again. He got up and was baptized. Amen. Then, now that was in Acts chapter 9. Then in Acts chapter 13, verse 9, then Saul, who was also called Paul, was filled with the Holy Spirit. Why did he need to be filled again? Because he had been pouring it out. That's the purpose of the continual filling, so that we stay full, so that we can be a blessing to others. Okay? One baptism, many fillings. I want to illustrate this fact. The best illustration, I could tell you stories. The best illustration is to go right back to Scripture and see what the Scripture, how the Scripture illustrates it. So let's look back at our text for the source of our understanding, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 again. And it gives us the negative illustration. It says, do not, okay, it doesn't look like this. Don't do it this way. Do not. You see, the Holy Spirit may look different. It may even look like drunkenness sometimes, but it is very, very different. Scripture says, don't give control to some substance and thereby be controlled by that substance, but surrender yourself, surrender control to the Holy Spirit and be empowered by Him. If you've ever seen somebody that's drunk, they're not really in control of themselves. Okay? Now, the truth is, the illustration kind of parallels a little bit, because if you're full of the Holy Spirit, you're really not in control of yourself either. But you've voluntarily given yourself and given control to the Holy Spirit, who will then tell you and you will be obedient to it. A drunk doesn't have any clue what they're doing. A drunk can't do what they want to do sometimes anyway. Don't be drunk, giving yourself to something else. Don't give yourself to something else. Give yourself to the Spirit. The point is not to lose control, but to let the Holy Spirit control you, to give control. Let the Holy Spirit control where I go. Let the Holy Spirit control what I say. Let the Holy Spirit control what I do. Why is it that sometimes we're not controlled by the Holy Spirit? Well, is it because you're struggling to believe the gospel? If you're struggling to believe the gospel, John chapter 6 says, no one comes to the Father but that the Spirit draws him. Maybe you're unsure of your salvation. Romans chapter 8 tells us that the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. If you have that Holy Spirit within you, He will confirm with your spirit that, yes, you are a child of God. If you have that Holy Spirit within you, He will remind you, yes, you gave your heart to Jesus. I am here. I wouldn't be here had you not done that. Maybe you're heavy-hearted or burdened, and I know there are that fits several in this room this morning. John chapter 14 says, I will send you the Comforter. That is the Holy Spirit. It's the promise of Jesus Christ Himself. Are you weak? Are you spiritually weak today? Although all throughout the Bible it tells us that He is our strength. The Lord is our strength. If you're weak in spirit today, you may not be full of the Holy Spirit, because you will be empowered when you are full of the Spirit. Are you in fear? 2 Timothy 1:7 tells us this. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Are you facing a tough decision today? John chapter 16 tells us that the Spirit guides us in truth. Are you fighting temptation today? Anybody fighting temptation today? Okay, all right. I just want to make sure I was in the right place. Galatians 5 says this in 16 and 17. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. If you're facing and fighting temptation today, you need to be filled with the Spirit, and you will walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with each other. And so you're not to do whatever you want. You see, there's a battle going on in there. God has promised this, folks. God has promised us so much. He's promised us so much power, love, comfort, strength, the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, peace, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. All those things come with the filling of the Holy Spirit. We need to be clear on something, though. You don't lose the Spirit. You don't lose the Spirit. Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But the Spirit may not always be filling you. Why is that? Why is that? What keeps the Spirit from continually filling me? What hinders the Spirit from filling us? That is for next week. There are things that we do that keep a distance. We're going to talk about that next week. But this week, folks, the Holy Spirit is real. It is a mystery to us sometimes, because it is not something that we have a picture of. It's not something that we can put a symbol up on the wall and say, okay, that's the Spirit. I have the Spirit. You know, the best illustration we have is the oil, which we use liberally here at Dolan Baptist Church, because all throughout Scripture, oil represents the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Holy Spirit. And when we anoint someone with oil, as Scripture tells us to do, it basically says we are praying for the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. Folks, the Holy Spirit is real. And if you have not experienced the realness and have been overwhelmed and overcome by the Holy Spirit, and I'm not talking about flopping or passing out or whatever you may have conjured up in your mind about it, what it means to be full of Spirit. I'm talking about what the Holy Spirit told Paul to write to us, and what it means to us to be filled with the Holy Spirit so much that it controls you, that it pervades you with an influence, that it causes you to action, that it empowers you, that it enables you, that it supports you, it comforts you, it convicts you, that it changes you from the inside out. That's what the Holy Spirit is. And it is real. It is real. If you have not, if you've said to the Lord, Lord, I want you to be the boss. I want you to be in charge. And I want to get baptized. It's still quite possible you've never experienced the fullness of the Spirit. Although you have the Holy Spirit and He's been convicting you, the truth is, folks, when the Holy Spirit convicts us, He's telling us, I want you to do this, or I want you to not do this. And He still gives us the option to be obedient or to be disobedient. Okay? Now, if we've really surrendered ourselves to Christ, we've taken ourselves out of the options and say, I don't have any other option but to be obedient. Okay? So if you're still struggling with that, there may be an issue of, have you really surrendered yourself to Jesus Christ? It may be very well that you have surrendered yourself to Jesus Christ, but you've never really experienced the fullness of God through His Holy Spirit. Folks, you don't have to walk that way any longer. You never really had to. But maybe you weren't told, maybe you didn't know. But you don't have to be that way. You can live a life that completely honors God. You can live a life that is surrendered to Him, not on your own strength and in your own power, but because of the filling of the Holy Spirit in your life. Folks, it's available to you. All you have to do is cry out to God and say, Lord, I want more. I want it. Give it to me. Give me all that you have for me. Lord, I'm going to work on making you room. I'm going to clean out the closet. How many of you have cleaned out some closets or space this week? Get ready for the garage sale, okay? There's some stuff in our lives that doesn't belong there. I'm already getting into next week's sermon on it. There's some stuff in our lives that doesn't belong there. And if we'll get that out, it makes room. Now, the trick is to not fill that space back up with other stuff that doesn't belong there. But to say, Lord, now this is your space. I've made this room for you. Fill me up. God is faithful. And He will do it. Our one of the verses we read said, He graciously loves to give. He's a good gift. And He gives the Holy Spirit to those who ask. So maybe you're here today and you want to say, Lord, I hear what Brother Mike is saying. And I've heard of people really experiencing what it means to be full of the Holy Spirit. And I want that. Lord, show me what I need to do so that you will fill me and fill me to the full. He will do it. He will do it. Not something I can do for you. Remember, I don't do it. You don't do it. God does it when we ask. Father in heaven, help us today. Oh, Lord, help us to confess to you that we are weak without you, that we need you. We need your presence, Lord. This world is a tough place to live on our own, and we know that, Lord. We know that because we've been living it. We've been experiencing it. And Lord, we confess to you today that we need your help and your promise that is in your word tells us that if we just ask, that you're more than willing to fill us. Lord, help us to make room so that we may get all complete filling. Complete filling. And Lord, I believe with all my heart, Lord, that if we would experience the fullness of you one time, we would never want to go back to the old way of life. And we would wake up the next morning and say, Lord, I'm not sure how full I am right now this morning. I just woke up, but before I even put my feet on the ground, would you fill me back up again? And as we minister to people throughout the day and we pour out ourselves and we give somebody that's hungry a sandwich, or we talk to them at our workplace, or we help them through a tough time and we poured ourselves out, Lord, we come to you and say, Lord, I used up some and I got some more room now, so would you fill me back up again? One baptism, many fillings. Oh, Lord, I pray that we experience a new way to live that is full of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.